Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you've decided to join me today. I'm going to talk about writing. You know, I'm an aspiring author. I've written a few children's books and one how to raise an infant and toddler book called Like a Little Child. But you're always improving your craft. And I discovered recently that if God has given you that desire to write, you write. I see it even in young kids. Among my students, I'll have students that just have to write. They create their own little news thing and they'll type up news, little newspapers, and they'll write plays. And it's just like they're programmed to write. So even if they have to do something else, pretty soon you see them over there writing. So I thought maybe you would like to come with me on a virtual writers conference. So here we go. We drive up to the big convention center, something like that. We walk in, we register, and the first workshop that we happen to go to is called Spoken Word. Now, those of you who know anything about oral tradition, spoken word is how we used to always pass on the traditions from one generation to the next. We just told them stories, and I'm sure the antediluvians had really good memories, so they didn't even need the word to be written down. Well, spoken word is kind of taking a resurgence, and little groups are springing up throughout the country where they provide an open mic and you can go and read what you've written down, and there is certain techniques to it. And so this is the first workshop I'm going to. It's called Spoken Word Fiction by Roger Bradbury. Now, Roger Bradbury is a well-known author, and he introduced us to the idea that when you read aloud, you need to give a certain amount of time based on the punctuation. For example, after a period, you should give 4 seconds. That takes a lot of discipline. After a comma, maybe 2 to 3 seconds. And then getting enough air so that you can read through a very long sentence without breaking the rhythm of your reading. And of course, he said, if you have to breathe, you have to breathe, but then just take a breath and take a breath before you run out of air so you're not gasping. So the first exercise that he had us do, he said, I want you to read 100 words of your work. So we got in groups and we were to read 100 words of our work. Now, you notice the operative word was fiction, and I don't write fiction, but I still chose to read. You know, I just opened up a book that I'm working on, and I set the stage. The little dog, the little dachshund, their pet named Fritz, has just been bitten by a timber rattler when they were up camping. And so they've hurried down the mountains, and now they're trying to get help for their dog. So this is where my reading starts. See if I can remember to read slowly, pause after the commas, give 4 seconds after the period. See if I can do it. You've reached Ellis Ford Animal Hospital. No doctors are on duty today. If it is an emergency, please call the Spokane branch at 516-234-0960. Dad quickly dialed the new number while the children watched breathlessly.
Hello, you've reached the Spokane Animal Hospital. How may I help you?
Dad quickly relayed the whole experience. We need to get our little dog some anti-venom, he stressed.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm just the answering service. I have no idea if we have any anti-venom, and if we did, you would not get here in time.
Dad slowly hung up the phone and turned to the children. I'm sorry, kids. There is nothing we can do. He walked out the door and started unpacking the van. Mom ordered everyone to go out and help him. Soon all the luggage, sleeping bags, and supplies were piled in the middle of the living room floor. Ginny checked on Fritz, but there was no response. So I stopped there. My 100 words were up. And the participant, then he told us some more about, you know, inflection, reading dialogue as opposed to narrative. And then the participant said, Rose, read some more of your story. So here's the next 100 words. Come, Johnny, get James. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Soon Ginny had the little boys out behind the house on their knees praying for Fritz. After the last amen, she ran back inside to check on Fritz, but the dog lay unresponsive. We're going to pray again. Remember how Naaman had to wash in the river 7 times? Both boys looked curiously at Ginny.
I haven't heard of Naaman, and I don't want to go wash in the river.
How will that help Fritz? Johnny wanted to know. We are going to pray again, and we're going to pray 7 times. Ginny pulled the boys down to a kneeling position, and each one said a prayer for Fritz. Now it's your turn to go and check, Ginny ordered Johnny, who quickly rose and ran back to the house. Nothing's changed. Mom says he's dead, Johnny announced on his return. Well, let's pray again. This will only be the 3rd time. The children knelt again and bowed their heads. Dear Jesus, we prayed to get a puppy, and this is the one we got. It seems hopeless, but if you can heal leprosy, you can heal a snake bite. Ginny was hoping God would understand her reasoning. James, it's your turn to go check the dog.
I don't want to see a dead dog.
James started crying. Just go ahead and check, Ginny ordered. And now my 100 words are done. But I thought it was kind of ironic in a community of fiction writers that I was chosen 3 times. I had to read 300 more words after this time to read something that again gives all the glory to God, even for a child's prayer for their pet dog. So I really was blessed in the spoken word section. So the next workshop that I went to is called Characters Are the Story by Tracy Garner. And she was such an inspiration. She has a disability, so she is confined to a wheelchair, and she has an aide that helps her. And she's a published author. Well, in her particular workshop, she talked about the characters, and she even recommended that you take a character and you write the backstory to the character apart from the story that you're writing. So you could interview your character in your imagination. How old were they? What did they look like? If it's an adult character, what job did they do? Where did they come from? And just really develop that backstory to the character, because it gives you more resources when you are writing about the character to say, you know, their brown hair shimmered in the sun. So instead of saying, Ginny had brown hair and Johnny had red hair, and then you would just use that information to embed it in the story. So those young aspiring writers that are looking to become writers someday, and maybe you already are, then just take and do a little interview of your character, even if it's in your imagination. For example, in biblical fiction, some of the most interesting biblical fiction books that I've read, they were only based on 1 or 2 texts in the Bible, but the author had done a lot of research and had written a lot about that character based on what she knew those times would be for that character. So this is a great strategy for those aspiring authors. The 3rd workshop I went to was called Crafting Magical Words, and it has to do with your own voice as an author. So my writing style is unique to me, and it is my voice. I haven't really tried to mimic anybody else's voice or write in someone else's style. I just let this story unfold and write it as I see it playing out in my head, like a movie. And that is what really brings the star quality out, because you might have a writing voice that the publishers or the literary agents haven't seen before. And it's interesting, the way you put the words together, the way you play with the dialogue, the way you write the description. It's just, it's interesting. It draws the author, the reader in, and then they don't want to put it down because they want to see or hear in their mind what you're going to say next. So this workshop was really good. It was called Crafting Magical Words, and it was a way that you can get the quality of your writing, get your distinctive voice. So if your writing was true, you want a distinctive voice. You want something that makes everyone want to turn the page. And it helped me to identify and develop further my own voice and to have courage. We don't really have a lot of courage in writing. We love our writing, but we don't want to share it because it's so close to us. And we need to use these skills to get the great news out of the soon return of Jesus coming. So writing is something we all need to be developing. I want to talk more about how homeschoolers can be involved in your local writing clubs. I'll be right back.
What's the matter with you?
I'm so sleepy.
Well, you look like you're about to doze off right here in the library. What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know, but it was really dark outside.
Sam! What? What? This is serious. You're not getting enough sleep.
I agree. So if you'll excuse me...
No, not here in the library. You need to get more sleep at home.
I can't go home. I'm in school.
You need to get more sleep at home at night.
How? I'm not sleepy at night. Only during the day. At school. In the library.
What did you eat for supper last night?
I'm sleepy, not hungry.
When you eat a big meal in the evening, your stomach has to work hard to digest all the food, and that can keep you awake. And what did you do right before you went to bed?
I watched television.
Aha!
Shh! Sorry.
Sam, when you watch those action shows you like so much, your mind gets all excited and your body gets all tense. That can keep you from going to sleep, too.
So what should I do?
Eat a smaller meal in the evening, and don't watch television for at least an hour before going to bed. You might want to drink a nice cup of herbal tea, too.
Herbal tea? Do I look like someone who drinks herbal tea?
All right. A nice cup of warm water and honey, then. Something to calm you down.
Okay. Light meal. No action shows. Water and...
Sam, you're embarrassing me.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Welcome back. I am talking to you about going to a writing conference. I'm talking to you about how to develop your writing skills and to excite your students, your children, about writing. I have written many stories for Guide, and Guide is a great place to start out with short stories. No more than 1,000 words, as little as 500 to 700 words. And a child can get published and get money for a story that they put in Guide. So a Guide magazine is one children's paper magazine that you can still submit manuscripts to. And I'll try to put something on my website or on Facebook about it so that I'll give you a little bit of a guide how to do it. So we had homeschooling families, associations at this writing conference. And one of the eighth grade girls, we even had her get up in front and read her poem. She had written a poem in honor or in tribute to the shooting in Florida. And so she was able to read the poem to us. It really affirmed her. So I saw so many young people there. I thought this is such a great way to get kids excited about writing, is to take them to a writer's conference. And some writer's conference may have age stipulations, but usually the community ones or even the state-run ones don't. So a great resource for homeschooling families. Well, we're going to talk about my last workshop. But the last workshop I went to is titled Make Them Laugh, Use Humor in Your Writing. It was a highly entertaining seminar, and it wasn't that she said a bunch of jokes. She just knew how to successfully weave humor in her presentation. She had one picture in her PowerPoint that had a flooded stream over a road, and there were like three cars stuck in the water. Then she photoshopped a picture of a shark, you know, raising his head ready to eat one of the guys. And of course, we laughed. Why did we laugh? Because we didn't expect that to be there. And she said that's one of the crucial elements of humor, is to do what is unexpected. And then she took serious writing that was humorous and took the humor out of it. It still said the same thing, but it wasn't as memorable as the exaggeration that had been used in the previous paragraph. So it really helped. You know, it's so easy to write about those dark days or those dark experiences that you have. But even with those dark experiences, if you can find humor, I believe God has given us humor to help navigate this hostile environment that we call the world that we live in. And it gives us a chance to smile, to laugh. These are all things that are good for us. Laughter makes the best medicine. It's a biblical principle. So as you're writing, put a little humor in your style. Think of how you can use exaggeration maybe to bring across the point, or alliteration, any of these different types of word vehicles that help convey a thought, but in a unique way. One exercise that she said for students that you might want to do: take a picture or even a little video clip, something that's not funny, and see if your students can write something funny about it. Or take a narrative that is just rather mundane and see how they can change it into a more humorous paragraph. So these types of exercises help us as we work with language to think outside the box, help us learn our own writer's voice, and get published, get the word out there. There's so many times that you have to write things, and you might as well start getting a good craft, getting good at your craft. Okay, the last thing that I wanted to talk about was my author's pitch. Now, for those of you that have done this before, I never had pitched my author to a literary agent. But as I was looking for possible publishing houses, I ran across the fact that you almost have to have a literary agent promoting your book to get into a mainstream publishing house. So I thought, well, I'll do this. So I signed up for a pitch, and this was very fortunate. So they fed us breakfast. We went in. There was the room was full of people, but there were three of us that introduced ourselves to each other. We were new at this. We'd never done anything like this, so we were newbies. And we sat down at an empty table, and this young lady came and sat down. And on her name tag, it said special guest. So I said, do you mind telling me what a special guest does or is? And she goes, I'm a literary agent. And I thought, I wonder if she's my literary agent. So I got to talk to her all through breakfast. And the guy beside me, he said, you know, these kinds of things just don't happen. Who would have a chance to sit with the person that they're going to do the pitch with and just get to know on a personal basis and then go in and do a pitch. But that was my experience. So by the time I went in to do my pitch, I wasn't as nervous because I already had eaten breakfast with her. And I pitched my two books. And this is how you pitch a book. You want to do 1 or 2 minutes, the whole synopsis of the book. So I wanted to pitch two books. I had 10 minutes with her. My first book that I pitched was called Fritz. I said, this is my working title. It's the story of a little dog that I got when I was about 6 years old. And he traveled with me through Africa, lived in New York City, and had all kinds of interactions with other animals and with human beings and experiences that were pretty hair-raising and some were funny. And I, you know, just love writing this book. And then the next pitch was for a book that the working title is Kathy's Journey Through Cancer. And so I told her about this book. I said, this book has three levels. It has a level of where I'm reflecting back on Kathy's life. And then the level where I'm experiencing her diagnosis with cancer, the leading up to it, and going through it. And in this particular book, it's just over that first year of her life. You, my listeners, know that she went on to live 2 more years after that. So this first year was so intense. You know, when you first find out you're diagnosed with cancer and you're given just a few months to live and you need to get your life in order, everything is heightened. But God was so good because he knows the number of our steps. So rather than just 3 months, she actually lived for 3 years and 3 months. So I'm very grateful for that. And as I'm writing this book, I am enjoying reliving the experiences and seeing how God has faithfully led. You know, she was my prayed for sister. I just begged the Lord for a sister. I had two brothers, so I knew I needed a sister. And when she came along, she was my special project from the day she was born. I just felt like it was God giving me this child. And we grew up to become such good friends. And even now and then, we'll play some of her shows where we were working together on Homeschool Companion. And I had 52 years. A lot of people don't have that long with a special gift. I had 52 years. And I doesn't say I loved my brothers any less. I certainly adored them too. I just loved my siblings. I never experienced any sibling rivalry. So when we did the show on sibling rivalry, I really had to rack my brain and draw from how I've seen, you know, other children and maybe my grandchildren, the sibling rivalry in there. But with my sister and with my brothers, I didn't have that feeling. No sibling rivalry. I loved them. They were gifts from God. And so in this book that I'm writing, I'm just enjoying bringing all of that out. And so I know we've come to the end of the show, and I appreciate you just coming on this journey with me, because life is tough. Life is tough. I pray that you have a good day. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.